So stand to your feet, will you? Stand your feet. And we're gonna face, Upper Lake. They need help, all right? All right, on three. Three times. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Got to four times. All right? And the last time, it'll start small. No, actually, you got to look at me because I'm going to do one of these. All right? All right, here we go. Ready? Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. All right. All right, good. All right. Well, welcome to church this morning. What a glorious Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. And I realize this is that for many, as you've been anticipating the fact that coming to worship on this wonderful day, I'm just glad you're here. I'm glad we're all here today. We're here today as a church and as God's people to love God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. That means to be fully engaged. I remember growing up in a church where I'd show up. I'm not exactly sure why I was there, and I couldn't wait till it was done. And then finally, Christ got a hold of my life, and I understood that we come to worship the King of Kings, the one who loved us and died for us. We're also here to love one another and to love each other as Christ would have us love. And that's why it's important. It's hard to love people if they're, you know, stuck in their cabin up on Cobb Mountain or something. And so let me encourage you to come. Thank you so much for being here. Once again, we're here because Christ loves us, died on the cross for our sins, and rose again. If you're here for the first time, a special welcome. Let me encourage you how to get more information about the church if you want it. You can go to the church website. You can go to the information table. You can call the church, or you can use the little pull tab and put that in the offering plate. At the end of the service, have an offering at the end of the service today. Also, you have a little piece of thing. It's got a picture of Jesus at a door. Don't open that. All right, it'll explode. No, it will not explode. Don't open that until I tell you. All right, a couple things that are coming up. Just draw your attention to. We're kicking off next week, 1 month to live. We're challenging one another to look at our lives, look at Scripture, look at our lives, making sure that our priorities are right before the Lord. You can sign up, buy the books and stuff underneath the tent. We have coming up the Center for Life Choices, Walk for Life. And so more information about that, you can still, you know, make sure. You talk to Doug, talk to other people. Hey, how can I be involved with the Walk for Life? Amen. And next week we also will be having, as we kick off 1 month to live, our annual vision meeting. You're going to hear vision points very quickly as to what we believe in each different facet of our ministry, what we believe God's doing and will do with us in the years to come. Our dreams, what are our spiritual dreams here as a church as we walk with the Lord? I want to ask you today as we're here that whatever else is going on in your life, how many of you have things going on in your life that you need God's help with? All right. I raised my hand twice. All right. At that point, then we couldn't be in a better spot. Is this today, we will have music that will lift us up, music that will lift us toward the Lord. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you now for your love and mercy towards us. Lord, use this day and this moment for your honor and glory. We thank you, Lord, that at 10:30, that our brothers and sisters in Christ at Casa de Luz will be meeting here also. And boy, at 10:30, there'll be hundreds and hundreds of more people on this church campus giving glory to God. We pray for brothers and sisters in Christ around this lake who are worshiping and preaching and learning. And we just thank you, Father, for the body of Christ in Lake County. Knit us together in Christ's name. Amen.
it's gone. I bless your name. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, you've heard in my mind. You took my darkness and gave me your light. Thank you.
Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands. And reach here with your hand and put it into my side, and not believing but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed."
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
I believe.
Does he live? He is risen. Just can't get tired of saying that. And because he died, we are free. Amen. Through you, the blind will see. Through you we are free, Lord. And though it seems kind of weird to sing loud and to dance and have loud music in your house, it shouldn't be, Lord. Your life is a celebration. Heavenly Father, we raise our hands to you. You are the Holy One. You are the Master. You are the Conqueror, and you are the Redeemer. And you live today. Father, We love you so much for everything that you've done for us. Heavenly Father, we are just speechless. Lord, you provide so many things for us now. And Father, at the end of the service, we just ask that when we give back to you, that you will just accept them as a token of our love. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you for your Son, for what you have done, and for making us worthy to live this life. Father, we love you, and we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
If you have a Bible with you, you can put your spot in John chapter 10. We won't get there for a while, but I want to thank the guys and the men and women who helped install the... Oh, would the second service dismiss Kids Children's Church? That's second service, okay? We'll put that right there. All right. I want to thank the men and women who helped install the cross up on the hill. And someone said, well, how come it's not facing the church? Well, we got one here. We faced it towards our community because it is through the cross of Christ that people will find hope. They will find the way. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. We have a door on the side over here. We want to be able to talk about the door of Easter. I have on the PowerPoint slide a picture of a door. Very famous painting. And we'll talk about that in the future too. You know, doors are something that we all kind of take for granted. We all walked in to a door this morning, and I'm not exactly sure as you came in through the doors what you were anticipating. Maybe you were anticipating a time of a great worship. Maybe it's been a long time since you've been in a church. Well, I want to just thank you for coming. I'm not sure what the expectations are. Anytime we see a door, we wonder what's on the other side. You'll notice this door doesn't have any doorknobs. We'll talk about that also. Sometimes people see a door and there's different expectations. I know when I go to a store, even yesterday, Sue and I were we went to a store, and there was the door, and inside it was a fabric store. And my sense of anticipation. How many of you understood my body language yet? Because I'm thinking, on a scale of 1 to 10, if I had to walk through a door, I'm thinking coffee shop, that sounds good. Hardware store, yeah, that's good. Way up there, you know. Fly fishing shop. But a fabric store. Wow. Now, how many of you, if you saw a door to a fabric store, you said, man, I'm in. I can't wait. All right? Well, we'll be praying for you during the service. You need to get out more, you know? A little bit more action in your life. I'm here to proclaim this day that Jesus Christ is the door. He made a lot of claims when he walked this earth, and he said, I am the door. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he's a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. When he put forth all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of the stranger. He goes on and says, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. We're here today because Jesus Christ came. Now, anyone can say these words. In fact, many people over the centuries have said, follow me, I'm the way. Follow me, I'm the door to an abundant life. Follow the path that I have sorted out. I've found enlightenment or whatever. But Jesus Christ came. He not only said these words, but he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to die on the cross for your sins, and I'm going to raise again. And I'm going to change the world. And I'm going to give people a life, an abundant life. So today, we reach back 2,000 years to the very first Easter Sunday. In Matthew 28, verses 5 and 6 says, the angel said, do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. He is risen, just as he said. Now, why would Christ need to come? Because somewhere, somehow in history, a separation came between God and man. A door was set. And man, by his own efforts, could not get to heaven. Could not have a relationship with God. Man tried all kinds of other ways to do that. Living a good life, all kinds of religious schemes. Boy, if I bow so many times to Jerusalem and pray, or if I give a lot of money, or whatever it may be, then I'll get right with God. This all started, we read our Bibles, in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. God creates the heavens and the earth, and he puts Adam and Eve there, and he says, here's all the doors you can go through. Here's all the opportunities, but just don't do this. This one thing. Of course, we know they said, no, I want to do that one thing. Now, if you could say in your own mind, well, I'm not like that at all. Now, I've never wanted to do just my thing and tell God, forget it. No, we realize that we're that same way. And what happened was when God came back after he said, don't do that, and they did it, he found man and woman hiding from him, fearful of God. And today I believe that's where many people are. Maybe you're that way right now. You don't understand God, or, boy, what's he demand? What does he want? Well, we'll clarify that by the end of our time here today. I believe there's good news because of Easter Sunday, because of the resurrection. That this door, which doesn't have any doorknobs on it, God has made a way for us. Now, I like this picture here. If you looked at it, you know, this is not a great example of it. But outside of this door, there's all kinds of thistles and all kinds of stuff that have grown up between the door that God can direct us towards himself. And I think that's pretty typical. And we could have gotten all kinds of caution tape of all the different things that keep us from God. But here's what I want you to know is that Jesus Christ has made a way for us. And if he had just said it, but not really done anything about it, then he would be lined up with all the philosophers of the world. But he's not. He was God who came as a man. So the first door, and this will be the next slide, the first door is the door of forgiveness. Mankind needed to be forgiven. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 24 says, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made manifest, being witnessed by the law of the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Jesus Christ. Redemption. We needed to be redeemed because it's a big word. And when I was a kid, we had S&H green stamps. How many of you remember those? How many of you don't know what I'm talking about? What? Yeah, you go to the store and they give you these stamps and you put them in a book. And then if you got enough of them, you could like get a Cadillac and stuff. Right? Now, how many of you ever got your Cadillac through S&H green stamps? No. How many of you ever went and redeemed a book of green stamps and got something? All right. Anybody remember what you got? What did you get? A toaster. Man, I got my very first baseball mitt. All right. Nice. Friends, it's the same word. The fact is that we were locked away and Jesus Christ paid a penalty and he redeemed us. He paid the penalty for our sin. He forgave us. He made a way. God realized we could never tear down the wall of guilt, so he knocked it down. He took it upon himself. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, that no one should boast. Goes on in that same chapter of Ephesians, and in fact, let me encourage you, if you haven't read the Bible for a while, grab the Bible, the book of Ephesians, just read it. It's going to tell you everything you need of how to walk as a Christian. Ephesians 2, 13 to 15, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off, outside the door, no way of getting in, no doorknob, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier, the dividing wall, by abolishing it in his flesh, the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he may make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. Jesus Christ, those who were far away, has brought near by the blood of Christ. The good news is this. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The good news is this, that the wages of that sin is death. The good news is that but the free gift of God is salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord. Aren't you glad he forgives? I don't know about you. I just tell you about myself. I became a believer when I was 17 years of age, and ever since that time, I have not sinned again. I'm not being facetious. Quite obviously, that the sin he's talking about is past, present, and future, and it causes me to be so humble before him, because without the love and the mercy of God, I'm lost. And we're all lost, but that's the door. The first door of Easter is the door of forgiveness. Well, the next door of Easter we want to talk about is the door of reconciliation. The door of reconciliation. Now, there was a movie a year or so ago called The Bucket List. Guys were both dying, so they both make a list of all the things I want to do in life before I die. Skydive, climb Mount Everest, you know, all kinds of stuff. You know, I've been a pastor for a long time, and I've heard about some people's bucket lists, and that's all good, I guess. I don't have a real big problem with that theologically. Other than this, ultimately the things that get down to it are the broken relationships, the issues of regret in life. Boy, I wish I could be made right with mom or dad or my kid or grandma. Issues of reconciliation. I've never seen anyone on their deathbed, and I've been by a lot of deathbeds going, man, I wish I would have gone skydiving. Man, I wish I would have had a chance to go to, you know, the best restaurant in the world at the end. There are regrets about people's relationship with God and with other people. All right? I'll never forget being called to the bedside of a young man. He was in his mid-30s. Grew up in a Christian family. Mom and dad were devout believers. Bible study teachers. I don't know what happened. His name was Mike, and he kind of went off the rails about age 26, started drinking. And he was one of the people that as soon as he drank just a little bit, boom, he was hooked. Became an alcoholic almost overnight. And he became the prodigal son. Every time he'd come back and they're just trying to bail him out of jail and all this different things. Finally, his mid-30s. His liver gave out. And there he was. He's dying. Family's around, and they're praying over him and stuff. And God just gave me an opportunity. And please don't think, well, boy, I can't wait until I have a loved one who's ready to die, and then I'll call the pastor in, and he'll fix it all. It just doesn't really usually work that way. But on this day, God's grace was there, and the family left. I said, why don't you guys go get something to eat? And I've known this man. I said, hey, the end is near. Are you ready to meet Christ and deal with, you know? And he says, no, I'm not. And he knew at that moment that the most important thing, whether he had rejected Christ because just to spite his parents or whatever, pride, whatever keeps us from him, at that moment, he cries out, what must I do to be saved? And I didn't say, well, you got to join a church. Have you been baptized? Do you read the King James Bible? Your hair's too long. I obviously didn't say that. You know what I said? Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I asked him, do you understand that you're a sinner and broken without Christ? Yeah. I said, are you willing now to surrender your life, whatever's left of it, to his lordship and his mercy? Yeah. Well, what a difference when his family came back in the room. I said, Mike, tell him what you just did. Made a big difference. Why? Because God has made a way of reconciliation. How do I know that? Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 to 19. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, new have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed us to the word of reconciliation. So the purpose of Grace Church, the purpose of the believer, one of them is the word of reconciliation. So here we share it today. That if God hadn't reached down to us, if he hadn't made a way, then we'd just be forever frustrated. But he has made a way through Christ. Romans chapter 5, verses 10 to 12 says, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more have been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. Friends, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He said, I want to make a way. I realize, he goes, you hate me. You're following away from me. He says, I'm going to make a way of reconciliation. God reached out. I mean, I tell you, when somebody hurts me, somebody badmouths me, somebody steals from me, somebody cuts me off or whatever on the road, I want to get back at them. That's what my flesh wants to do. And the last thing is, if that same person who cut me off and, you know, we get some other place, at least I'm going to give them, you know, a look, you know. But you don't do that, so you're just laughing at me now. Because I, like, well, sheesh, what's with the pastor, you know? Got all these problems. Here's what God did. While we were yet his enemies, he sent his son to die for us. He said, you know what? I'm not going to wait for them to figure it out. I'm going to show them how to figure it out. Here's the way. The way of reconciliation. Friends, there's only one way to do it. It's through his power. Ephesians 1, 19 to 20. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe? These are in accordance with the workings of his strength, of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly places. The good news this Easter, the resurrection of Christ, has allowed us the power to actually change. The power to change. The power to enter into a relationship with the risen Lord and God. The power to go and forgive those who have hurt us, even who are not, they're still thumbing their nose at you maybe. You know, they still hate your guts. And God says, I give you the power of reconciliation. So the first door is the door of forgiveness. Next door is the door of reconciliation. And the last door we want to look at this morning is the door to heaven. Door to heaven. I remember growing up, you know, the song, Stairway to Heaven. Everybody wanted to play it on their guitar, but it was cool. All right. I remember singing it. Youth groups would sing it. And then they go, and it really is the fact that somehow that we can make our way to heaven. There was another song in the 60s. I was a teenager for a day in the 60s. Turned 13, 1969 at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on December 31st. There's a song, also a song about we're trying to get ourselves back into the garden. Remember that song? Those who weren't alive, just bear with me. You know, it's true. It was a song. Friends, here's why. People know that there's something eternal in themselves. In the play Our Town, one of the characters gets up and says, yeah, there's just something that's eternal about people. All right. Friends, it's true. God has placed eternity in our hearts. Mankind is always trying to figure out, how to get there. Eightfold path, ninefold path, do this, do that, join this church, do this. Friends, that's not how you get there. Even the disciples trying to figure it out said, how do we get there? John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6 says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way that I'm going. And I love what Thomas says. Thomas, Lord, we don't know the way. We don't know where you're going, and we don't know the way. Jesus says, I am the way. I'm the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I'm the door. I'm the door to salvation. And maybe you're here today and you haven't had the courage of a Thomas. I like Thomas. They call him the doubter. I call him the questioner. God, Jesus, I don't get it. Sometimes someone's telling us something very intense and very technical, and we go, oh, yeah, yeah. Inside you're going like this, but you don't want to come across like you're not that smart, you know. You don't get it. Well, Thomas said, boy, I better get this one. He's talking about getting to heaven. And today is my prayer at the end. We're going to give an opportunity for people to respond to who Christ is. To be like Thomas says, I don't get it. Show me the way. And Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Friends, I don't think the heaven's going to be sitting up there with a bunch of harps and stuff and clouds. If that's it, that's fine. I mean, but it talks about if God is the creative God who created the universe, and this is the universe as it is groaning and kind of broken because of the fall. Man, I can't wait to get to see the unbroken stuff. And I get to be in relationship with the creative God who loves me, and I believe there's going to be plenty of stuff to do, and it's going to be completely who we are. It's like trying to explain to a child who is 4 months in the womb what it's going to be like to eat a raspberry or go to the prom or ride a horse. They're going, what? No way. I got this cord hooked up to mom here, and that's just the way it's going to be. You know, you're out of your mind. Friends, we don't get it. We don't get it. Heaven is a place for perfect people. Only one way to be perfect. It's through the perfect sacrifice of Christ, the Lamb of God. John 17:3 says, "This is the way to eternal life, by knowing Him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one He sent to earth." There's only one way to get to heaven. It's through a door that Christ provided. He is the door. So we have to deal with Him. We have to deal with Him. A lot of people believe in the resurrection. A lot of people believe in Jesus. George Gallup, in a poll, amazing what Gallup can come up with in these polls. That 84% of people in America believe that Jesus rose from the dead. I'm going, wow. But here's the scary part about that. How many of them have come to that God? How many of them have surrendered and come, fallen on their knees and said, "Here I am. Forgive me. I accept the death that you provided on the cross for my sins, and I surrender my life to you. Lord, when you say you're the way, the truth, and the life, no one's come to the Father, help me to sort that out, because I want to know, because I want to be there." And for whatever reason, 84% believe in the resurrection, but I guarantee you, 84% of America is not living by the power of the resurrection. Or this would be a very different country. So I'm not talking about all of America, I'm talking about all of us here today. If Christ is risen, if Christ is who He says He is, creator of the heavens and the earth, fully God and fully man, He would die as the Lamb of God for your sins and my sins, then the question I have to ask each one of us, then why aren't we following Him with all diligence? Why aren't we humbling ourselves and saying, "Lord, thank you. Whatever you want me to do in my life, I'll do it, because you've made the way. You're the door." This painting again. Turn to a couple of these other lights. I want to see the painting a little bit better. You'll notice there's no doorknob. You got Jesus with this cool light. Guy who painted this, Holman Hunt, famous painting. He's wanting to get in. Inspiration for this passage was Revelation 3:20. "For behold, I stand at the door of your life and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into them and have fellowship with them." Here's the interesting thing about that passage. That was written to church people. So here's what happened. I'm going to put the lights back up. That's good. Somehow, they understood that there's a door of forgiveness and they went through it. Somehow they realized that there was a door of reconciliation. They went through it and entered into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Somehow they understood the issue of eternal life, and they went through the door and received that eternal life and the door to heaven. But here we get in the book of Revelation a very strange thing. As he's writing to these churches, Jesus is now back outside and he is saying, you know, "Let me in." Now, there's a strange issue here. It's not strange, it's an interesting issue, a mystery, really. He says, "I am the door, come in through me." He wants us to abide in him, to dwell within him. But also in the Bible, it says he wants to dwell within us. Some kind of doorway into your heart. I want you to picture that now. There's a doorway into your heart. And sometimes people, after a while, they just kind of showed Jesus the door. Not convenient to have him around. Boy, I can't swindle people in my business if Jesus is there, right? I'm being pretty bold right there. I mean, there's no swindlers here. I can't beat my wife or my children if Jesus is there. I can't get drunk every Friday night if Jesus is there. I can't be addicted to pornography if Jesus is there. I can't be addicted to money or my own life or the giants or you fill in the blank. If Jesus is Lord, then it's inconvenient to have him there. Because he's always saying, hey, I'm God. I'm the way. The thieves are coming to steal, kill, and destroy. But, hey, Gary, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. So here's what happens after a while. Sometimes it's a church. And there was the church of Laodicea in Revelation 3:20. They said, Jesus, there's the door. We don't like hearing it. We don't quit bugging us about holy living and making you first. There's the door. And Jesus is knocking, saying, let me back in. Now, I provided for you a little something here. If I can find it. Now, you weren't supposed to open. There it is. All right. Little Jesus at the door thing. Here's some verses I want to share with you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Don't open it yet. Jesus chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. That he would grant you according to his riches and glory to be strengthened with the power through his spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love. It goes on from there. Romans 5, 1 to 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained an introduction by faith into his grace, into which we stand and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. All of that. We have obtained an introduction. It is a welcome. It's like someone opened the door and said, come on in. Friends, that's what we need to do. We need to have an attitude towards the risen Lord. Lord, come on in. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, for thee. Take my silver and my gold, everything that I behold. Lord, it's about giving him everything. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2 says, I tell you now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. It's not about tomorrow. It's about right now. Inside this, don't open it yet. I want to share with you how I believe the Bible says we become a Christian, how we receive Christ. I believe the Bible tells us that we admit we're a sinner. We admit our need for him. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Be willing to turn from our sins and repent. Believe that Jesus died for you on the cross and rose from the grave. And by prayer, invite Christ to come in to control your life, to be your Lord and your Savior. That's through prayer. Some of you, that will be a prayer you have never prayed before. There may be others here who somehow, because of something, they've showed Jesus the door. And Jesus is knocking. And he says, please, let me back in. There may be here those who have never even thought about coming to Christ. And you say, but I'm not ready. So I want you to open it now. All right. In a moment, I'm going to have Molly come up. She's going to sing a song. Same time, the guys will come and we'll take up the offering. But during that time, here's what I want you to think about. Three decisions. You can circle them with a pen or you can turn this in later. If I desire to accept Christ as my personal Lord and Savior for my sins, I prayed the prayer of salvation with the pastor at the close of the service, and I'm going to have that prayer in a moment. Or B, I've already believed in Christ but have drifted from Him and want to restore my relationship with Christ. Or C, I am not ready to make the decision to accept Christ, but I am considering Christ and would like more information. You can write it there, and these will come to me, and I'll pray for you. But here's the prayer. Everyone bow their heads and close their eyes. Let me read this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins on the cross and rose again. I want to turn from my sins. I now invite you to come into my heart and life. I want you to trust and follow you as Lord and Savior. Take control of my life and make me the kind of person that you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. In that prayer, express the desire of your heart or any of these other prayers. While this song is being sung, you can do that. Put it in the offering plate when it comes by. So listen to this song and see if it touches your heart. abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is...